Come on, if he's ever been your healer, give him praise. If he's ever been your way maker, you give him praise. If he ever came into your life when nobody could help you, but he opened up a door you never knew before, he was your helper in a time of need, you give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're delighted to have Brother Miles Young in the house, and I just thank him for opening up his heart Friday evening, Saturday morning, and again this morning. God's doing wonderful things in the house. And one of my purposes in bringing in gentlemen like this is for them to leave their mark, their signature, a part of their spirit on this house and in this people. And I really appreciate him being open enough to let the Holy Ghost flow through him. I've had the remarkable privilege. I think Brother Young was 7 when we prayed through, Sister Sutton. And so I've got the privilege of watching him grow from a child to a young man and then to an adult, mature man in his own right, in the house of God, pastoring one of the greatest churches in Pentecost, raised up his kids in the house. Honey, where did that time go? And it is a great, great pleasure to see what God has done in him and how he conducts himself among the people of God and the word that he brings and the passion that he brings and the vision that he brings to the work of God. And it's a thrilling thing to see people go all the way for God. It's a thrilling thing to see people actualize potential. It's so sad to see folks stop along the way or get to the end having failed to fulfill their God-breathed potential. And I don't know how he sees himself tonight, but I see him as someone who God is bringing forth the kingdom and bringing forth his potential in great measure. He's a blessing tonight to people all over the apostolic world, doing a wonderful work in visionary mission and in foreign missions work. And I just love what God has breathed into his spirit. Tonight, I want him to just open his heart. Whatever you want to do, Brother Young, I want you to just do whatever the Holy Ghost tells you and whatever you feel led to do here. Well, there's no template that we have in terms of expectation. We just want to hear from God. Anybody want to hear from God tonight? You don't care how it's packaged. You just want to hear from God. I want you to extend your hand toward him and just say, "You preach to me, preacher." Come on, Brother Young. God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you tonight.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap of worship tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Well, I rejoice in his presence tonight. And boy, God is raising up a mighty army in this church. Boy, I guess that's been 37 years ago. 37 years ago. That's amazing because I'm still only like 25. Amen. It's amazing. Brother Sutton doesn't look any different. And Sister Sutton is still knockout gorgeous, isn't she? Amen. See, I let y'all in a secret. We wanted to be just like him. We did. We thought he was the coolest thing since sliced bread. And she was just a knockout. All the boys wanted a wife like Sister Sutton. Amen. And he was strong as an ox. I remember it was the last day of high school. And we decided we were going to handcuff Brother Sutton. We were at Howell Park and we had a secret plan. It's the last day we graduate on Sunday. Let's handcuff the teacher. He was the bus driver. We had it all planned and we got right to the bus and about 6 of us jumped him. And a wild man came out. I guess he just figured, you know what? This is it. This is the last chance I got with these guys. and he fought. We literally ripped his shirt. I mean, he looked like the wild man of Gadara, man. He just... The truth was, is we never got him handcuffed. No, you didn't hurt us. You hurt our pride. And you know what? The devil's been trying to handcuff him ever since, but he can't do it. Look at what God's done. I think somebody, I'll thank God for revival in Birmingham. I watch what God's done. I preached. I don't even know the roads around here. It was an old white building down here somewhere. Over here. And I remember an upright piano. And it seemed like in my mind, if you shouted on one side, everybody on the other side went up. And now look at what God has done. And man. And it's evident the anointing that has been through the years upon this church and ministries. I look at, I can tell who's preached here. I watched Dawson and he's got Cody Mark's mannerisms. And then I watch him and it's like Keith Clark Jr. Amen. So I've been picking out different ones. And man, I'm honored that this group's here from Trinity. I pray they have so much revival they name rename the town the Oneness. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bible, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 20. And it is a privilege to be here. It's always an honor to be with people that you love. And I love the Suttons, and I love all the family and these son-in-laws and all the pocket smurfs that run around, and this church. This church is, you're known as the worshiping church, revival church, and that's a good thing to be known for, because I know churches that are known for other stuff. It's good to be here. I'm excited. I got a call from Roatan today. They baptized 8 more today. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Good things are happening. Amen. Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 20, and we're going to read about Hezekiah. Amen. I went home the last time I was here. Y'all did that honor deal. And I just, everywhere I go, I want to figure out what's good that I can take home. And boy, I like that Sunday morning I was here. I think I was only here one Sunday morning. And I took that, boy, y'all had honored somebody that made an honor roll or got some kind of award. And I said, you know what, I can do that. And I went home. And I announced to the church, we're going to be honoring all of the young people that do things. So if your child does something, let us know. And boy, 2 weeks later, I got a note, email. My daughter got such and such. And boy, I honored her. Boy, it was good. We all clapped. Boy, a month went by, and that same girl, she got this. I mean, it's the biggest honor I ever heard of, all the way from some university on the other side of the world was honoring her and made her the honorary vice president or whatever, and they brought this big time letter and on letterhead and all this stuff. Man, I got up and read it at the church. We had her come up and we did this big standing ovation, and the whole church is talking about it. Till I found out she had lied about the whole thing. She had went and made her own letterhead, found out the president of the university, and I think she's going to be a professional counterfeiter or something. I don't. So we scratched that. We don't do that anymore. I turned to Dawson while they were getting their awards. I said, they're lying. They didn't even do that. Amen. So, this is a wild world we live in. So if y'all really did all that stuff, congratulations. I'm cynical. I'm getting cynical in my old age. I don't believe nobody anymore. So I guess I need to preach to myself what I'm going to preach it. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Well, that's a word from God. Sound like Cody Marks. I feel crazy tonight. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. Everybody say he cried. Say he cried real bad. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy years 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" So I want to preach for a little while and ask you a question. Can you believe God? Can you believe God? I want you to turn to somebody, look them in the eye, and say, "Are you a doubter? Or can you believe God?" Now, I want you to tell them if you believe God or not. I want you to grab them and shake them and say, I'm going to stir up your faith tonight because I believe God can do the impossible. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. All the Spanish folks scream, "Yo creo." Everybody scream, "Yo creo." Anybody know what that means? That means I believe. I want you to shout it out loud. Say, "Yo creo.
Yo creo.
I believe."
I believe.
The next time the devil messes with you, just look at him and say, "Yo creo. I believe God can do anything." Let me see your hand if you got a need in your life. I want you to leave this room tonight with faith that God can do anything. Doesn't matter what your situation is or how bad it seems or how big it is. We heard this morning that a man was healed of cancer. We heard about what God's been doing around the earth. And I want to tell you that tonight that same God is in this room. He's here to heal. He's here to save. He's here to deliver. I've got faith in the impossible because God can do everything. Give the Lord another hand clap and give him a shout of faith and victory and power. Stir up the gift that's within you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You know what? I'm going to give you a little bit of me, okay? This is a dancing, shouting church. Well, I'm a screaming dude. I like to scream. I like to holler. I like to holler because the Bible says that we're to give him the fruit of our lips, which is the sacrifice of praise. Amen. I read about a tribe. I'm not preaching yet, so just hang on with me. We're going to do this before we sit down. I read about a tribe out in the South Pacific somewhere that they gather their medicine men, gather their followers around trees, and they teach them to scream these incantations. And they can watch. I don't know if it's voodoo or hoodoo or whatever, who did. I don't know. But what I read is they can watch by their screaming those trees wilt and die. Now, I don't know if that's some kind of weird demonic something. But if they can do that for evil, what can the people of God do if they give God a shout of praise? So before we preach, I want you to throw your head back in the air and I want you to shout unto God and give him a cry of worship and praise. Come on, set the battle in array tonight. I believe we're going to see something happen in the Holy Ghost. God, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tear down a stronghold by faith right now. Shout for the victory. Shout with the voice of triumph. Set the battle in array today. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, you may be seated. I feel better. The next guest preacher you have, I dare you, just right in the middle of it. Everybody just kind of look at each other and go, whoa! Amen. Just feels better doing that, don't it? It must work because they do it in ball games, and when the crowd gets to hollering, the players get to playing better. I don't understand all that, but something happens in heaven when we start loosening ourselves. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Can you believe God? You know, we may as well admit it, though, that we are basically negative. We are. I know you think you're all that in a bag of chips, but we're basically negative. You know how I know that? I heard it today. Somebody helped me in my illustration and didn't even know it. It was after service this morning. I was thinking about preaching this tonight. And as we was walking out, I heard somebody on the stairs say, go down to, and gave some directions. You know what we call traffic lights? We call them red lights. We call them stop lights. I've never heard anybody say, go down to the third green light and turn left. Go down to the go light. People are like, go light? What's a go light? We are negative. We think of the thing that's stopping. That's what we immediately go to. And we have a proclivity for the negative of life. There are friends of mine that will not fly on airplanes, and there may be somebody here because they're afraid they're going to die. Well, I got to thinking about that a while back, and I wanted to do some research. And I did some research, and I found out that the chance of dying on the following vehicles, I'm going to give you the numbers. There is a one chance out of 306,000 people of dying on the railroad. One out of 410,000 will die on a bicycle. One out of 91,000 will die on a motorcycle. One out of 7,700 will die in an automobile accident. But an airplane is one out of 2,067,000. And you don't think anything about getting in your car, but you're afraid to get on an airplane. We're negative. We think the worst is going to happen. Somebody's a little bit late. We don't immediately think, oh, they stopped and are teaching a Bible study. We don't stop. Oh, something was on sale at Walmart. They must be staying over a little. No, we think, oh, my God, something happened. If you don't believe we're negative, then just pick up a newspaper. They don't ever write about anything good. They don't ever write about anybody getting an award because, see, I'm negative. I don't even believe they even did what they get awarded for anymore. Whole time y'all was getting trophies, I said, they was lying. They didn't even go to that quiz tournament. And old Hezekiah was sick. The Bible said he was sick unto death. And the prophet shows up. And Isaiah walks in and says, Hezekiah, set your house in order because you're going to die and not live. And I want you to watch what happens. The Bible said that Hezekiah heard the word and turned his face to the wall and began to weep sorely. He just heard a word. But Dawson, are you getting tickled about something right now? It'll be out of control. I tell you, I'm feeling wild. I'm just feeling like I'm at home right now. Y'all, we need to cast the devil out of Dawson right now. But he gets a word. I mean, it's just simple as this. The preacher walks into the room and says, "You're going to die and not live." And he immediately goes, "Oh, God. Oh, I don't know why he turned his face to the wall. That's just, I mean, wall. Oh, God. You know it." And he immediately begins to go through everything he's done right. And he begins, like he's going to make this deal with God. But the point I want to make to you is, he gets a word that you're going to die, and he immediately believes. So he starts praying, and we read it in our text. He's weeping, he's crying. And then Isaiah's walking out the middle court. He's almost out the door, and God speaks to him. And he comes back, and he says, "Hezekiah." Hezekiah turned around. He wiped his eyes. "Yeah." He said, "God's heard your prayer." "Really?" "And God said, you're not going to die. I'm going to give you 15 years. What's going to be the sign?" I mean, this is the same preacher that just said, "You're going to die." "Oh my God, I believe I'm going to die. God said, you're going to live and not die. I need a sign." You know why? Because we're negative people. We got more faith. Let me show you this. This is the way it is. You can tell stories. There was a woman that walked in the room and there was demonic spirits coming out of her. And they were over and horns were coming out of her head. And we cast the devil out of her. And everybody going, "Oh, ooh, ooh." But you get a preacher say, "I walked in the foyer and an angel of light appeared to me." And we go, "Man, he's been snorting something." We got more faith in devils than we got angels. You know why? Because we're negative. We just have a lot of doubt. We got a lot of, what was it we talked about Friday night? We got a lot of naughtiness in us. I got proof y'all got some naughtiness in it, because I went in the pastor's office and he's got a chain on the vacuum cleaners with a sign that says, "See, I got on the negative and the pastor got up." He's basically a negative preacher right now. He got a sign: "Do not remove the vacuum cleaner, Barry Sutton." But see, he's so negative, he didn't even believe his word was going to work. He bought a chain to go with it. He didn't believe that the preach word would say don't take it. He knew one of y'all just say, "Oh, well, that's just the pastor. I'm going to vacuum this anyway." So he bought a chain. My God, y'all's church had to chain your vacuum cleaners. You feeling, you want to preach about that a little bit? My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Don't you be stealing the vacuum cleaner. Go buy your own. And the what?
The grit pot.
The grit pot. Let me preach about grits right now. You need to sweep around your own backyard. Some of you coming up to church and getting your praise on and stealing a grit pot. I'd hate to go to hell over a grit pot or a vacuum cleaner. That's good preaching right there. Oh, I feel an anointing. It's the first time in my life I ever preached about grits. Three. That's a confirmation. Three missing pots. It's all in him. One of y'all stole all three of them. Man, y'all gonna wreck my sermon. Y'all having a good time tonight? But that's the truth. We're negative. We're bent. We're tilted. We're bent to believe the negative. I mean, nobody ever passes on the miracles, but they pass on all the gossip. They can't tell. Boy, sister, you know, I never had a problem with too many people talking in church about sister so-and-so's blessing. Man, did you hear Sister Sally got a promotion? Oh, my God. And pass it on, type, email it, text it. Nobody ever does that. Did you hear what she did? I heard. Or this one. Help me pray. I'll help you pray, but what are we praying about? Because we're negative. We're bent inside. We got a default button that just goes to the negative. And it's not a new thing. It was that way in the book of Acts. You remember Peter gets arrested? He's in the bottom of the jail. What does the Bible say? Four quaternions. Quaternions. I mean, that's a funny word. Quaternions. Makes you sound theological. Quaternionology. I mean, this guy is bound. He's in the dungeon. He's in the third ward, or however deep that was. And he's got 16 soldiers around him. He's chained up. Now get this is a funny story to me. He's sound asleep, chained up between 16 soldiers in the bottom of the third ward. I mean, they were scared of this guy. And he's sound asleep. And all of a sudden, an angel appears in the room. He don't wake up. The angel has to hit him, kicks him in the side. I mean, think about this. An angel kicks you and wakes you up. The angel says, get your shoes on. We're getting out of here. Okay, he puts his shoes on. The chains fall off. Now imagine that, chains falling off, you putting your shoes on in the middle of 16 men and they don't wake up. You pass through the third ward, you pass through the second ward, you pass through the first ward, and you get to the gates of the prison and they open. And he walks out and he goes, oh, this must be real. I mean, how dumb is that? I mean, you just watch chains fall off. An angel just appeared in your room, kicked you in the side. Doors are opening. Nobody's waking up. And it takes three wards and standing outside the prison and going, oh, I believe. He gets to the house because they've been praying. You remember the church has been praying. He gets to the house and knocks on the door. And the little lady that keeps the door comes. She comes, Rhoda comes to the door, and she opens up the little looky-outy, whatever it is, the peephole or whatever they call it. She looks out. They're in church praying for Peter. The door's knocking. She goes to the door, and there's Peter. She goes, oh, it's Peter. Leaves him at the door. She was a blonde. It's like the blonde was in the car and looked out, and there was a blonde girl sitting out in the field. Am I going to get in trouble here? She's out swimming in a field. He said, that's blondes like that that give us a bad reputation. If I could swim, I'd go out there and give her a piece of my mind. But old Blondie runs back in. She says, hey, everybody, Peter's at the door. I mean, they've been praying, set him free, Lord. Set him free, God. Set him free. And God sets him free. And they go, you're nuts. You're crazy. Because it's easy to believe that he's going to die and get his head cut off and all that's going to happen. And the very prayer they're praying for has come to pass, but they don't even believe it. They tell the little girl, you're out of your mind. You've lost your mind. She goes back, and the whole time, he's still knocking. But I like what the Bible says about her. She constantly affirmed. She continued She was constant. She was beating on that door. She was letting them know that he's out there beating. You're going to have to let him in. What we need in new life is somebody that will continually keep believing that God can. I know there's enough negativity. I know there's enough problems. I know there's enough doubt. But what we need is some little rotas that will keep believing and keep affirming and constantly keep reminding. God can. God will. The answer's at hand. The answer's here. You got to believe. Can anybody in Birmingham believe God for the word of God that he gave you? There is a revival. There is a miracle. It's at the door. It's knocking. The things you've been praying for are here. It's time to grab hold, throw open the door, and say, God, let it happen. Woo! Have you ever thought about the miracle of Saul of Tarsus? That story, I know we've gotten so used to it because we heard it since we were in Sunday school, but that story is a big deal. Saul is on his way to Damascus to arrest everybody he meets that's of this way. He's on the road to Damascus. A light shines, knocks him off his horse. He winds up crying out, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus." You know the story. Where does he wind up? He winds up in the very town he was going to persecute. He winds up at the feet of the very people he was wanting to throw in jail and have killed. And the Bible says certain days he began to preach Christ. That right there is a Holy Ghost revival. Amen. The very thing that was against the church in one light shining encounter. The biggest opposer, the biggest obstacle, the biggest struggle that the church was facing was that guy. Now, I know we tell the story about Stephen stoning and we got him over there as the coat bearer. But if you ever seen people that are standing on the sidelines holding the coat, that's usually the guys that planned everything. This is the coach of the people that are doing the persecuting. He's the one that's arranged it. We know from Scripture that he had access. He went into the high priest. He gave them the whole strategy and the whole plan. This was a guy that was leading the charge against the New Testament church. But in one encounter with God, the biggest scheming, conniver obstacle against the church, God in one moment goes, and becomes the greatest preacher of Christ of the New Testament church. You know how the Bible describes it? When Paul began to preach, the Bible said, then, everybody say then. The churches had rest. I mean, he took care of one guy and gave the entire New Testament church rest. What I'm telling you is if God could do that in the middle of a Roman Inquisition and a Roman empowerment against the people of God and against the Jewish, whatever you want to call it, in opposition, God could find the one guy that's causing all the problems and give him his own revival experience in one day, and he turns around and becomes the preacher of Christ in the very city he'd been going to destroy. If God could do that, then what can God do in Birmingham? What can God do in your family? What can God do in your neighborhood? What can God do in your... I'm telling somebody, you gotta stir up your faith. Get rid of your negative doubt. Get rid of your unbelief and say, God, if you could do that for them, then what can you do for us? Shout, God can! Yo creo! I believe! Get rid of the doubt in your life. Start speaking faith. Start waking up in the morning instead of thinking about everything that's going to go wrong. Start thinking about what God's going to do today. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what God's done. We went to Honduras a few months ago. It was the month of May. Brother Wilson, Brother King, and my son, we went to Honduras, and we were there. We were doing some work that we were looking on and preached for Brother Shrek Ice and doing a wonderful job. Went to the the town of Siguatepeque, started a church, never been an apostolic church there. And Brother and Sister Shrek Ice are building a tremendous church. And we were there, and on the way back, we felt led to go to the island of Roatan. I understand there's somebody here that grew up in Roatan, right here. Amen. What an incredible place. And we went there. I'd never been there, but we felt drawn to go to Roatan. And one afternoon, I was driving around. I'd rented a little scooter, and my wife was there, and Sister Wilson, Brother Sister King, I got out on the scooter in the afternoon, was just driving around to see the little island, and as I was driving through, I came into the town Gravel Ridge. Is that what it's called? Gravel? No, the other end between West Bay and Coxon Hole. Can't remember, Gravel Ridge or something right there on the, and it came in and it merged into the little town of Coxon Hole, and as I'm pulling in, all of the kids started coming out of school. And I can't describe. We had felt led to go there. We had never been there, didn't know anything about it, but we just felt like, you know, God's doing something to Honduras. There's some kind of something. I can't explain it. So I'm driving the scooter, and the Holy Ghost began to deal with me. I began to feel this something in me that said, there's a church here. There's a church here. And I was crying. I was crying. I was driving down this little scooter through this town. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where the road led to. And I'm just driving, exploring, and I'm praying while I'm driving, and I'm crying. And I get back to the hotel where we're staying, and Brother King was there. And I said, man, something happened to me. And he said, well, take me. So we had two scooters, so Brother King got on the other scooter, and I took him around. And I didn't say anything really about what I felt. I just said, you got to go with me and see this. And we circled through. I took him on the same exact route. And we come up and stopped. And we're sitting there in our funny looking little helmets on these little scooters. And I look over, and he's got tears in his eyes. And I said, man, do you feel what I feel? He said, all I know to tell you is I feel a church here. I said, man, that's what I felt. We got back to the hotel. And that night, Brother Wilson and I and Brother King, we stayed up late. We were talking about the things that God was doing and what we were feeling. And we said, you know, we need a word from God. God's up to something. And we begin to pray. And I've been in prayer meetings at houses where, you know, you just pray a little while and it feels good and you did your duty to pray. But then I've been in other times when you're praying and the Holy Ghost just kind of, anybody know what I'm talking about? And in just a few moments, you go from just going through prayer motions, and the Holy Ghost is there, and the power of God hit that room, and the three of us, man, we were walking around that room, and the Holy Ghost fell, and we were talking in tongues, and the Spirit, it was just heavy, and man, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning by the time we finished praying. We had us a Holy Ghost prayer meeting, and we finished, and I think it was Brother King looked at us, and he said, you know, God's just going to do something. He's going to open a door. We're going to get clear direction, the next morning was the last day. We had just stopped by for a couple of days, and then we were going to head out. And I had found there was one place on the island where you could rent a little van without having to pay an exorbitant price for a driver. I wanted to drive around myself. I had kind of done my own exploring. And so I found this, and to get there, I had to catch a cab. And these people know about how you get around Roatan. You get one of those cabs. And so we got in taxi cab 314, and me and Brother King hopped in. It was about 7:30 in the morning. And we were driving down the road, and the guy spoke English a little bit, and we began to talk and found out his name was Fidel Ponce. And so we struck up conversation. What are you doing here? Well, we're doing missionary work. We've been on the mainland and came by here, and we're just talking. And we got to the place over by the airport where the little rental facility was, and he said something that stirred up something. I said, so you go to church? He said, oh, yes, I go to church. And I said, great. As we got there, Brother King started to get out, and I opened my door, and I don't know how to explain this, but all I know is the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, push. And I pulled the door back, and I said, Fidel, do you know about the Holy Ghost? He whirled around. He said, yes, I know about the Holy Ghost. And I could tell by that response, he knew about the Holy Ghost. I said, you know about the Holy Ghost? He said, yes, I speak with tongues. And the Holy Ghost said, push. And I said, well, Fidel, I said, have you ever read Acts 2:38? Yes, I have the Holy Ghost, just like happened in Acts chapter 2. I said, then, how about baptism? Yes, I baptize in water. I said, how do you baptize? He said, I put them under. I said, what do you say? He said, I say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, you do? He said, yes. I said, you say the name of the Father? He said, yes. I said, okay, what is the Father's name? He looked at me. He's in the front seat, turning around and looking at me. I said, what is the name of the Son? He said, Jesus. I said, what's the name of the Holy Ghost? He said, this is a good question. I said, well, let me show you some stuff. And so I just started taking him through. I said, now, when you get home, you need to read. And I started giving him a little Bible study. We didn't have a Bible in the car, but I said, when you get home, begin to read. And boy, his face started, what are you saying? And I said, there's only one name. So I went through this whole little process. And I said, can I pray for you? He said, yes. And I just palmed his head right there. I was praying, talking in tongues. He started talking in tongues, whatever. So I said, all right, we're going to be praying. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going back to America tomorrow. And he goes, oh, well, pray for me, sir. I must hear more. I said, okay. So that's the end. Walk in, we get the van. I get in the van. I tell Brother King, my Brother King, you're not going to believe what just happened. Well, what happened? I tell him, oh, man, that's incredible. He said, boy, I wish we could... You know, hang more. Did you get a phone number for him? He said, no, I didn't get a phone number. Oh, man. Well, we'll just keep praying. God's able. So we go back to pick our family up. We're going to drive them around and show them the island. It's about 30 minutes to 45 minutes later. We pull into the little town of West End there next to the water, and we're going over to get our family. We get out of the car, and we've just been talking about, boy, wouldn't it have been neat if we, you know, we were praying for an open door. And I know Brother King was thinking, you idiot, why didn't you get his number, you know? I get out of the van and I look, and over next to the little entrance to the little town, all the taxi drivers are holding court. And there in the middle, I look, and there's my friend that I just talked to. And I hollered, Fidel! He goes, hello! So I went running over to him and I said, do you go to church? Where's your church? He goes, oh, my church is in such and such. I said, I don't have a clue where that is. He goes, we are having church tonight. I said, you are. He goes, yes, why don't you come preach? I said, okay. I said, are you the pastor? He said, no, my brother's the pastor, but I can tell him that you're going to preach. I said, okay. So that night, we said, we don't know how to get there, so you have to direct us in. So his cab, taxi 314, pulled up, and we got there. It was about 6:30, and it's dark, and we don't know where we're going. You've heard every kind of story about Honduras and all this stuff. We wound up going down the back roads of went to the very end of the of a road. It was like going over. I can't even describe how rough that road was. We wound up in the back in the middle of nowhere. There was nobody. There was no lights. There was no nothing. We don't know who this cat is from Adam, other than that he talks in tongues. And so we get there, and there's not even any lights. He goes, hold on 1 minute, I have to turn the lights on. So we're sitting out in the dark in the jungle. And then he turns on some lights, and when the lights come on, there's a little building that looks like it seats about 90 people. We walk in, and we're the only people there. It's Fidel and Brother King, my wife, and London, and Brother Wilson, we sit down, and a little bit of bus pulls up, and people start piling into that church. And so we're thinking, man, this is cool. God, I'm over there praying on my little chair, you know. Oh, God, I'm in the Holy Ghost. Boy, I'm going to get to preach in this. And, well, evidently, the brother didn't want us to preach. He says he's going to preach. Boy, and I'll just tell you what happened. I got mad. I said, God, you put me in that cab. You told me to witness to that guy. You told me to push. And now this guy ain't going to let us preach. And we had already planned it. We had already planned it. I was going to get up and talk about how I met Fidel. And then I was going to talk about how the Spirit wouldn't let Paul go here and wouldn't let him go there. But the Spirit brought him here. And I had it all set up. And then at the right time, I was going to turn it to Brother Johnny King. And Brother Johnny King was going to talk about this. And then when he was done, we already had our plan together. All three of us going to preach. And this joker don't want us to preach. And so I'm sitting on the front row of that little church, and I start praying in the Holy Ghost. And I was mad. I was Holy Ghost mad. And my wife could tell I was fidgeting. I was over there. And I started telling God, this is not the will for this guy to preach. You put all, and I was, and my wife said, it's going to be okay, honey. It's going to be She's rubbing my leg, honey, you know, doing that deal. And this is how bold I got. I said, God, do something to shut this guy up and let us preach. I mean, I really said that. My wife's a witness. I said, God, do something to shut this guy up. And 5 minutes later, all the electricity went out. And I turned to Brother King and I said, we're on. It was dark now, so I walked up to Fidel in the dark and I said, Fidel, right now, we need to preach. He walks up to his brother standing in the dark and he said, I don't know what they said. And then he gave the mic to Fidel and Fidel said, right now, we got flashlights. They put on flashlights. I guess they're used to it being there. They turn on the flashlight so they can see the preacher. He said, right now, the preachers from America are coming to tell us a word from God. And as he walked by, he said, whatever you have to say, say now. It was on like Donkey Kong, man. We was ready. You know, I was never going to see him again. I just figured this is it. I'm just letting. Boy, we started preaching and I gave him everything I could in about 3 minutes and hard and 5 minutes. And boy, the Holy Ghost got to getting on me. And I said, right now from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Brother Johnny King's coming. And here comes old wooden Indian stiff, you know. I'm expecting him to go through his Canada deal. And all of a sudden, he starts preaching in Spanish. He starts preaching Acts 2:38 in Spanish. I think it's the only line he knows in Spanish. But he hit it running. Boy, it was like, I mean, I was like. He got to preach, and he took them through Acts 2 and Acts 8 and Acts 10 and Acts 19. Boy, and he took them through. And then he said, and right now, Bishop Wilson is coming. And Brother Wilson comes up, and Brother Wilson knows enough Spanish that he had been hearing what the guy before us had been preaching about, that about you need to fall on the rock and build your house on the rock. So he just picked up and he said, earlier your pastor was preaching about building your house on the rock. Let me tell you what the Bible says. That rock is Christ, and you need Christ in your life, and you need the Holy Ghost, and you must repent of your sins, and you must be baptized in Jesus' name. The lights came back on and the pastor was in the back sulking. But somewhere in that audience was somebody that knew. And when we got to preaching about Jesus' name baptism, some little lady in the back said, hallelujah. So we got in the car and we headed back. Church was over. There wasn't no altar call. We didn't have 5,000 get the Holy Ghost because there's only 90 people there anyway. But we stopped out on the dirt road on the way back and we said, we pulled over and Brother Wilson said, I got a word for Fidel. Pull over. I pulled up by his cab and Brother Wilson said, Fidel, this is not an accident that y'all met in that cab. This is not an accident that we preached tonight. God's going to do something in your life, and he's going to do it for a reason. And so the next 2 weeks, I began to call Fidel on the phone. I got his phone number, calling from America. We sent Brother Ballmeister and his wife over back. He spent 5 days every day teaching Bible studies and talking to him and every day working on him while he was there. And then the next couple of weeks, I kept working him on the phone, and I was out of town preaching somewhere, and I got a call. It was very expensive for him to call, but he had called. He said, Pastor, call me. And so he calls me Pastor Jung. He can't say Young. He says, Pastor Jung. He said, Pastor Jung. He said, I got to tell you something happened last night. I said, what happened, Fidel? He said, last night I was sound asleep. It was 3:00 in the morning. And he said, my phone started ringing and it woke me up. And he said, I reached over and answered the phone and said, hello, Diga. And he said, no one was on the phone. He said, I looked at my phone. My phone had not rung. And I said, oh God, who is calling me? He said, Pastor Jung, the Holy Ghost spoke and said, I am calling you. What the preacher preached to you is truth. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. He said, Pastor Jung, I want you to come and baptize me. 3 weeks later, I got on a plane and I flew to Roatan and I preached. And that night, 14 received the Holy Ghost and we baptized them in Jesus' name. And this afternoon, Brother Malone called me from Roatan. He said, Pastor Young, we baptized 8 more in Jesus' name. Woo! I don't know how to explain it, but I just believe God can do anything. He can put you in a cab. He can put you in a restaurant. He can cross your path with somebody that will change the world. You got to believe God. Woo! You may be seated. When he got baptized in Jesus' name, the enemy rose up against him. He was assistant pastor. He was the guy that brought his family to Christianity. The brother that's a pastor of the church, he's the one that brought him to church. And when he got the revelation of Jesus' name baptism, the assistant pastor, his brother said, "You can't sit on the platform anymore. You have to sit in the back of the church." He said, "Pastor Chung, my heart is so heavy." I said, "Fidel, you just keep believing God. You stand for truth." But see, what we didn't know was God was doing all that on purpose. Because everybody came to church. And Brother Fidel is no longer on the platform. Brother Fidel's on the back row. And so everybody says, "What's wrong with Fidel?" "Oh, he did some new thing with baptism." "Fidel did what?" "He got baptized in Jesus' name." "Why did he get baptized in Jesus' name?" "I don't know. Go ask him." So many people kept going by to talk to Fidel. What's happening? "Well, I got baptized in Jesus' name. Some people came and preached." "Remember those people?" "Yeah, I remember them. They came." "Oh, I saw it and I got baptized." "Well, now the pastor said, 'Well, you can't keep coming to church. I'm kicking you out.'" So you know what he did? He didn't have a church, so he just started having church outside. He said, "Well, I'll start a church in my own front yard there." And he said, "Pastor, I don't have any chairs." So our church bought him some chairs. We got him 30 chairs, little plastic white chairs, and put them out. And he started having people come. And guess who showed up? All the people that had been questioning, "What happened to you?" And I was there for the very first service. That's the service where we baptized them and 14 received the Holy Ghost. What I'm telling you is when the devil comes against you, don't give up. Keep your faith in God. God may be using that very thing to bring about the miracle. Oh, I know the church was afraid of Saul, but you just keep having church because I'm going to take care of him. And what was against you is going to be for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Can you believe God?" One more story and I'm done. God can blow your mind. Have you ever really looked at the story of the deliverance out of Egypt? Keith Clark referred to it tonight. I mean, have you ever really read that story? It's amazing. When you read the Bible, you see stuff. That story's pretty incredible. Remember all the deal he goes through, you know, he's doing magic tricks, you know, all this stuff God's using to show power and all that. And Pharaoh's just getting madder by the second. But the whole time, let me back up. Do you realize what was happening to the Jews? Remember, he said, "Let my people go," and he got mad, and so he hired taskmasters. I mean, it got really bad. I mean, until the point where all the neighbors are telling on them, they're having babies, they're killing the babies. I mean, this is a major deal. This is like genocide. I mean, we can't imagine how bad it got for those Jews. And the Bible says every man, this wasn't just the government against them, every man was against them. Everybody in Egypt hated them. They hated these Goshenites. They couldn't stand them. They're against them. It's genocide. They're killing babies. This is as bad as anything you read in National Geographic and Newsweek. This is happening to them. And then the magic wand starts happening with the Holy Ghost power. And have you ever read what the Bible says? The Bible says that Pharaoh's servants wind up becoming fans of Moses. Go back and read it. They're like, you know, like Che Guevara shirts. You ever see those? Young people in California, I don't know. They don't even know who Che Guevara is, but they wear those shirts with Che Guevara. In Egypt, they were wearing "I'm with Mo" shirts. I mean, read it for yourself. Go look at it. It says it right there. They were wearing Moe shirts. No, it doesn't really say that, but the servants of Pharaoh, they've been hiding, watching all the tricks, and they're going, man, this guy's bad. This guy, and they become fans. And then, like he referred to, like Brother Clark referred to earlier, they go, Moses tells them, he says, go borrow from your neighbors. The very people that were killing them, killing their babies, ratting them out, telling on them, getting rid of everything they are, suddenly their whole world's turned and they're giving them silver and gold for their journey. It's amazing. The thing that was against them begins to work for them. Can you believe God? What obstacle are you facing? What issues are you facing? What kind of faith do you have? And I said that to lead to this story, which is my final story. We built, can I talk about our church? Okay. Our church is, we built a new building. We were cram-packed, and it was a process. And I can't describe to you the opposition that we faced. California is truly the land, it's the cereal state, flakes and nuts everywhere. And there are fees that you have to pay just to build. I know it's that way everywhere, but California, to build, we bought 10 acres next to our church where we were. And there is what is called the Swainson Hawk in our part of the country. And when you develop a piece of property, for every acre, you have to pay the government $18,000 for replacement land. We bought 10 acres. So before we could ever build, we had to buy property for a dumb bird. That's a bunch of money. And they said, oh, and you're building a building of this size, and so it's going to be here, and so that's going to have an impact on the urban community. And so the fee for your building, the fee, is a check of $450,000. So we had $180,000 for a dumb bird that I wanted to flip the bird, because I got a little naughtiness in me too. And then we got to pay $450,000 for some urban impact fee before we ever turned one spade of dirt. We had to pay $1 million in fees. I didn't have a Holy Ghost fit, I promise you. I had another kind of fit. And then we go through the process. We submit our plans, and we were in the community of Elk Grove, which was in Sacramento County. But in the process of building, we submitted our plans to the county. In the process, Elk Grove incorporated itself and became the first city of the new millennium. And in the process, they said, oh, by the way, we don't accept any permits by the county. You have to reapply with the city. So now we have to present our plans again. They lose them. 6 months go by with our third submission. In the process, the city did not have its system in place, its infrastructure in place, so they had hired an outside firm to run the city that they had newly incorporated. In the process, they lost the plans the second time. The third group, they had to fire the second group because they were incompetent, and we knew that because they had lost our plan. It took us three submissions. We are now almost 2 years paying $1 million and don't have anything done. And you got to come up and preach faith. And you got to keep preaching. We're going to build it, and we're going to build it, and we're going to build it. And the devil keeps beating you over the head every day. And it's not going to happen because that negative in all of us, even in the preacher and even in the pew. And you got to get up and preach your way through that and believe your way through that. And the devil just keeps attacking. And then you build it, and in one day, a tariff was put on imported copper and everything, and the price of copper doubled in one day. And so what had been budgeted at whatever it was, in one day, the price doubled. I mean, it was just one thing after another. One thing after another, after another, after another. And at the end of the project, the indebtedness on a $14 million project was $9.6 million. with a monthly mortgage payment of $67,000 a month. Go to sleep with that. And just as you're, you know, see, we had a plan. We knew it was going to be that much, but we had 4 acres that we had originally going to build on, the 5 acres on the corner, which was prime property. California property was out the roof, and boy, that was going to be our plan. We're going to sell that property, and it was estimated at however many million dollars. We're going to sell that, and then CVS Pharmacy said, we want your property, and we'll go into a contract with you, and boy, it was going to make everything better. And just as we moved in, the economy went, and so now you're faced with a $67,000 mortgage payment, and the whole plan was to sell the property in the corner to pay for that, and all the, and everything's piling in on you, and your negativity, and then you got brothers that start telling everybody, yeah, they built too big. Because everybody, boy, nobody wants to believe that. Boy, they're going to make it. Nobody ever said, you know, I really believe they're going to make it. Nobody ever gets on the internet and says, oh, they're going through it, but they're really going to make it. No, they're not going to make it. They're going under. Boy, and we'd hear it, and people would call, Pastor, what? So-and-so was telling me we're going through it, and you're trying to keep faith up and trying to, and all this opposition pushing you, sleepless nights, and on it goes, and bishops having heart attacks, and I mean, stuff's happening, and it's just, it's hell on earth. And we had all these plans. We built this recording studio, and we was going to have this whole light deal and this big curtain deal. I mean, we was going to do it up big, but, you know, everything started tanking, so we didn't get to finish that, and the cost overruns were so, but we're still holding on. You know, that corner's going to sell. And then CVS gets in a lawsuit with the city. And they said, well, it should be worked out in 6 months. All right, church, we can hang on for 6 months. 6 months gets there, and they said, you know, the city, you know, it's not working right, and we're going to have to extend this intent. We're going to extend it another 6 months. Then another 6 months. And we get right in the middle of one of the toughest times. Meanwhile, people in the church, homes they bought in the boom. Sacramento, Elk Grove, where our church is, was the fastest growing city in America for a period of time. And it was the fastest growing school district in America. And houses were popping up like rabbits. And I mean, it's just growing. And there are people moving in. And everything's happening. And how property values are shooting through the roof. And houses are selling for $400,000. And people feel like they're getting a good deal at $380,000. And imagine that, a thousand square foot home for $350,000. Boy, they're buying it. That's a good deal. Because over in San Jose, you're buying a 900-square-foot apartment for $800,000. And boy, they're coming from the Bay, moving into Sacramento because you can get more bang for your buck. Not 900 square feet, get 1,000 square feet for half the money. Boy, the houses are going through the roof. And then the economy tanks, and suddenly people in my church that had $380,000 homes, they find out their home's worth $150,000. And jobs and layoffs and economy and everything's going crazy. But in the worst economy in years, that piece of property sold. $2.6 million. And I tell you that story to show you this, that if we had sold that property originally, we'd have done all that extra stuff. But what we didn't see was God was holding that in reserve, saying, I'm not going to sell it right now. But I'm going to lock a pharmacy company into a contract, and I'm just going to put it in hold. And while you're going to struggle your way through, I'm going to get to the very worst time of your economy, and I'm going to hold that in a reserve account for you just when it looks like you're going to go under, just when it looks like everything's going to be bad. If I'd have given it to you here, you'd have spent it on that, but I'm going to hold it until the moment you need it most. And it was the only commercial piece of property that sold in that six-month period in the county of Sacramento. And it sold on behalf of the Rock Church, and it was that money that sustained us. And never since, it has been going up, and our church has been moving up, and it was the thing we needed. What I'm telling you is, even in hard times, don't doubt God. Even when you can't sleep, don't doubt God. Even when it looks
looks like everything's going wrong, don't doubt God, because he'll make a way out of no way. He'll bring an answer right when you need it. Trust God. The very thing against you may be the thing that God is working for you. I don't know why I'm preaching what I'm preaching, but I'm telling New Life today that God knows exactly where you are. He knows where your family is. He knows where this church is. He knows what your situation is. He knows the very hairs of your head, and he knows the number of the hair that you just lost. If he knows that, don't be afraid to face tomorrow. Put your trust in God and believe. I want the musicians to come. I want somebody. I don't want you just coming out of response, but I want somebody that's going through a storm right now. I want somebody that's going through a storm, and doubt has been attacking you, and unbelief has been coming against you, and you've been wondering if you were going to make it, and you were almost to the point of giving up. I want you to come down here quickly. I want somebody that needs a word from God tonight. As they begin, we're going to stir up our faith tonight. We've heard the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want you to come to this front and throw your hands in the air, throw your head toward heaven, and begin to say, God, I believe you. I believe you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or can even think. What do you have need of tonight? What do you need God to do in your life? Come on, open up your mouth and cry out. Say, God, if you could do it on Honduras, if you could do it for the Rock Church, if you could do it for Peter, if you could do it for Hezekiah, then you can do it for me. God, if you did it for those people, you're in the same business today. You're able to save me. You're able to deliver me. Whatever your situation is, cry out to God right now. Cry out to God right now. Cry out to God right now. He knows what you're going through. He sees your struggle. He sees your battle. He sees the struggle of life. He sees your finances. He knows the struggle you're going through. He knows the pain you feel. Come on, y'all sing it right now. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I feel faith rising. Come on, hear the word of the Lord. Stop believing doubt. Stop believing the naysayers. Stop believing the negative things. God's going to make a way for me. He's going to bring me through. Sister, they're going through a storm. They need the hand of God in their life. They need their faith to be encouraged. Come on, strengthen yourself in the Holy Ghost. Come on, don't believe the lie of the enemy. God's able. God's able. God's able. Trust in God, sister. Put your trust in the Lord.
All night. All night.
Yes. Yeah.
Think about Jesus.
Come on, brother. Come on, believe the Lord. Put your faith in God. He's able. He's able. He's able. Come on, don't doubt. Have faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. God, do it right now. Do it right now. Make a way
when
for
I think
him,
about Jesus.
What is God for me? When I think about Jesus,
yeah.
How he set me free.
Good to you.
God has been so good to you. You are-
Come on and praise the Lord.
Praise Him. Woo! Praise Him.
Come on and praise Him. It's been so good to you. Come on and praise Him.
Praise Him.
Come on and give God praise.
Praise Him.
Somebody praise Him.
Praise Him.
It's been so good to you.
God has been so good to you. You want to stand up on your feet and praise Him.
Somebody praise Him.
Praise Him.
Woo! Yeah.
Praise Him.
Come on and give God praise.
Praise Him.
Yeah.
If God has been so good to you, you want to stand up on your feet and praise Him.
Come on and give God praise.
Praise Him.
You want to praise the Lord.
Praise Him.
Come on and praise Him.
Praise Him.
Yeah.
If God has
Jesus.
When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free.
Been so good to you.
God has been so good to you. You ought to stand up on your feet and praise him.
Come on and praise him.
Praise him.
Somebody give God praise.
Praise him.
Come on and praise him.
Praise him.
Yes. If God.
If God has been so good to you. You ought to stand up on your feet and praise him.
Come on and give God praise. Yeah.
Praise him.
Come on and praise him. So good to you.
If God has been so good to you, you ought to stand up on your feet and praise him.
Come on and praise him.
Praise him.
You ought to give God praise, yeah.
Praise him.
Come on and praise him.
Praise him.
If God has been so good to you,
if God has been so good to you, you ought to stand up on your feet and praise and magnify the Lord, for he's the one.
Yeah. Praise him. Come on.
Praise him.
Woo.
Praise him.
Yeah.
Praise him.
Come on. God has been so good to you.
God has been so good to you. You want to stand up on your feet and praise and magnify the Lord.
Yeah.
He's the one that's been.
Come on.
Praise him.
Yeah.
Praise him.
Come on.
Praise him.
Woo.
Praise him.
You ought to praise him.
Him.
Yeah.
Praise him.
Woo.
Praise him.
When I think about Jesus. Good to you.
So good to you. God has been so good.